Never feel ashamed if you're having that hard moment. We're never meant to do this alone. We weren't built to be alone. When we have issues, we're not supposed to go hide and just white knuckle it out. Connection's the answer to a vibrant mental health.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year. Welcome back to episode 86 of the Mad Happy Podcast. Today, we are joined by Dr. Jennifer Freed, who has a PhD in psychological astrology. And if you're as curious to know what that really means as I was before we spoke to Dr. Jennifer Freed, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. I think astrology has become all the rage, I think, across millennials and Gen Z and in our social conversations and our daily lives with, you know, all these apps like CoStar and Pattern and all these different things. I personally definitely subscribe to a bit of it. You know, I think we all have those sorts of moments where, you know, it happens to really relate to us on that day, or the universe or our higher powers are speaking to us in some way. And after this conversation, I was a complete believer. Phineas, I know you were too, after you heard some of the things that she was really breaking down after literally just reading my chart with no effort, just from like the baseline high level information. So I think it's really cool. And I think whether you really subscribe to it or not, I think there are a lot of really amazing just life lessons and principles in which she really preaches to her clients, in which we can really all abide by and really apply to our own lives and benefit from in a tremendous way. So really excited to bring this to you guys as the first episode of the year. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Hope everyone had an amazing and well-rested and safe and healthy break, whether you're with family or friends or loved ones or alone or home or traveling or whatever. I hope that you had a really nice time. And, you know, it's weather's a bit weird here in LA for the new year, so it kind of feels like a little bit of a gray start to the new year, but we're super excited for the show this year and for everything that we have going on at Mad Happy. And we are really doing everything we can to make 2023 our best one yet, and wouldn't be possible without you guys continuing to support the show and listen to the show. So we're always immensely grateful for that, and hope you enjoy episode 86 with Dr. Jennifer Freed. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Dr. Jennifer Freed. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so excited to speak to you, even more so after finding out that we have a personal connection. But I've always been so fascinated by what you do, and we really haven't had this conversation on the show yet in terms of spirituality and mental health and astrology and mental health and all of these other ways that it's connected with things that maybe we can't see or feel, or that for some people might be a little bit harder to wrap our head around. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on, and I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
Well, I really wanted to be on this show because what you're doing is essential. We need people to feel better about their issues and getting help and having new and different ways to attend to all the stress. So you're at the top of my admiration.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much. I guess in short, how would you explain sort of who you are and what you do?
Okay, I've spent 40 years in both these fields, astrology and psychology, and how they blend is this. Psychology is the practice of alleviating pain and trauma and building positive resources and giving people skills. Astrology is the practice of looking at your cosmic DNA and your earth plan curriculum. So together, it's like this amazing combination, because I can see what's the curriculum for this human and how do I help them bring it to its best aspirational application.
And how are you able to see what that curriculum is, or how can people sort of learn that about themselves? Do they have to be with a professional? Is it something we can figure out at home, or what's that process like?
Well, to really learn the craft of astrology in a meaningful way, it's like going to bachelor's and graduate school. It's many years of study. So yes, you should be with a professional to look at what your complexes are and your strengths are and all of that. There's lots of apps you can start learning the language. It's like a foreign language, but apps will never replace somebody being able to actually see the whole totality and talk to you about it.
Yeah, things like CoStar and what, there's another one that I'm forgetting, but I know we're very popular with my friends.
Well, I love Channing Nicholas's app. There's CoStar, there's Nebula, there's The Pattern, there's lots of things.
Pattern. Yeah. That was
and,
the one.
And they're all, you know, super helpful, but they just can't replace someone that's been deeply trained at seeing the parts and how they connect to the whole. And a computer can never do that.
Of course. I completely agree. How did you end up in this line of work? Was it something that you were always passionate about as a youth? Did you have personal experience with it, or what drew you to the field?
Well, basically, since we're on this show, I suffered from a lot of trauma and mental health issues growing up in a dysfunctional family of alcoholism, eating disorders, you name it. And so when I was young, I was always interested in astrology, but I didn't know why. But when I got to be 18, I met a guy and I fell in love with him, and he really steered me towards psychology. He said, "You really like to be with people, you're curious, do this." And I started going to therapy. And at the same time, I had mind-blowing astrology reading. And it was like, oh my God, this person sees me like no one's ever seen me. And the two things put me on a parallel path of studying both madly and passionately forevermore.
Wow, that's incredible. I find that most people in this, you know, broad mental health field are really, including myself, it really is personal. And I think with things like mental health and things like astrology, they are sort of difficult to wrap your head around unless you have some sort of personal connection to it, whether that's feeling, struggling with mental health issues yourself, or having it be someone in your family or friend group. And that's such a big part of what we're really trying to change, is that it doesn't have to take something going wrong, like being in a dysfunctional family and having to go to therapy, or like me struggling with anxiety and depression, then for us to be like, oh, this thing exists. You know, it's something that's innate in all of us, and our mental health the same way as our physical health. And a big part of what our mission is at Mad Happy is really, you know, if you have a brain, mental health is a part of your life, and there's nothing wrong with having these sort of conversations and expressing ourselves, and the more that we can really reduce the shame and just accept it as a normal part of our life, it hopefully doesn't have to take these downfalls or rock bottoms or struggles to start to, you know, express ourselves, ask for help, and really build a supportful community.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, being a psychotherapist that's, you know, seen all kinds of cases, somebody could have very good mental health for one part of their life and all of a sudden really have a hard time. And I think that's more shocking for people, like, oh, I'm really very fit mentally and everything's going well. And then shockingly, they have a really hard period. And I love what you're saying, like, never feel ashamed if you're having that hard moment. We're never meant to do this alone. We weren't built to be alone. When we have issues, we're not supposed to go hide and just, you know, white knuckle it out. Connection's the answer to a vibrant mental health. Connection.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. For me personally, I think astrology, I've always, you know, I think now it's something that girls really like to talk about. And it's sort of this like social thing that we can relate to each other and ask what our signs are. And then, you know, it's similar to mental health. It's kind of tougher for most guys to think that it means anything or to come around on the conversation. How would you sort of just like sum up really like what astrology is and how when we're born really has to do with what type of person we are, or like what our path might be, or like...
Okay, great question. And I do work with a lot of men, so that's inspiring. This is the way I've understood it the best. If you see the movie about the sommeliers, they are tested, and when they are tested, they have to know what time, day, region, conditions was that wine made in, because it will have a signature, and it's absolutely specific. In the same way, the moment you're born, the place you're born, the time you're born, and you know who you're born to, you're going to have a specific signature of patterns and possibilities. I call them divine possibilities. When you know what that particular arrangement is inside of your psyche, you have tons more information about how to work the software, so to speak. So, for example, what's your birthday?
June 11th, 1994.
And you, do you happen to know your moon or rising or no?
No, I just know that I'm a Gemini only.
Okay. Well, we might look you up in a second and get more details.
I was thinking, I was like, should I just have her read my chart during the episode?
I usually do that for hosts. So I am going to put you in for a second.
Well, let me see. I could open my...
I'm going to do it on my end because I trust my app more than that. Okay, so it's June 11th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. And where were you born?
I was born in Aspen, Colorado.
Okay. And what time do you happen to know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know
that's
that
okay.
Here. Birth time, 5:23 p.m.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So now you're going to be blown away. 5:23 p.m. But again, tell me your year because I've got to put in the right year.
94.
Okay. Excellent. You're doing great. All right, June 11th, 1994, 5:23 p.m., correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we're just going to talk about your sun, moon, and rising, which just gives you a ton of information and also immediately tells me why you've struggled with mental health. Okay, ready?
Please.
So you have a Gemini sun, which is your basic identity as a connector, a networker, curiosity, very interested in learning new ideas and sharing them. Really beautiful. And that's an air sign. So you're very much mentally prepared to do the kind of work you're doing, which is speaking and listening and studying.
Mm-hmm.
Your moon sign, which is your inner working, like how you really feel inside and what your needs are, is in Cancer, the sign of Cancer, which is a cardinal water sign, one of the most highly sensitive, emotional, organized person there can be. Cancer moons feel things very deeply, are easily hurt, and also have a crab-like shell. Like, don't you fucking mess with me because I'm sensitive. And, you know, if pushed, I'm going to snap. So that's an important thing. But here's the clue to the whole mental health thing. You have a Scorpio rising, which means Scorpio is a fixed water sign, the most intense and deep of any of the signs. And the rising is your social conditioning, your strategy. Scorpio in the primitive, because I talk about two levels, at least primitive or evolving. Scorpio is the most self-destructive sign. So when you have all these big feelings growing up, you were trained unconsciously to turn them against yourself and blame yourself and hate yourself. That's the Scorpio rising. Scorpions are one of the only creatures that when they're threatened, they sting themselves. So Scorpio as a strategy has this weird habit of, you know, you don't like me, I hate me more. And of course, this leads to mental health struggles. On the other hand, the evolving part of Scorpio is that once you learn how to face the darkness, and I mean really face it and feel it with all this feeling, you can be this extraordinarily resilient, inspiring person who says, bring it on. I can deal and I'm going to use it to help other people. And that's what you've done. And there's a lot more to say about your chart, but that's just a tip. How does it resonate?
A lot, especially with the Scorpio rising, was it?
Yeah, rising. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my biggest struggle my whole life has been self-sabotaging behavior, and that's led to addiction and me ruining my relationships and causing severe pain to those who love me and care for me the most. And I think that's a direct reflection of being abandoned and neglected by my biological father, having a hard relationship with then my stepdad who adopted me and became my dad, you know, some other neglect, and then just secrets in the house, you know, kind of operating in the shadows. Yeah, a lot of things like that. Yeah, I mean, it's weird to hear all that and have it land so perfectly.
But here's the point, and I really want to say this to you because you're so awesome and inspiring. This is the original chart it's totally up to our free will how we evolve. And for you, the good news is, because you're still quite young, you can actually be, with this chart, one of the strongest emotional people on the planet who's fearless in the face of hard feelings. And you can really teach and communicate to other men, especially, how you can possibly be a really intense and awesome virile man and know how to feel and not run from the feelings. That's your mission.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for saying that. I think really only in the last 6 months, truthfully, have I really started to believe that I could, sort of rewrite that script for myself, or like be able to really turn these things, use this hand that I was dealt that was out of my control to really learn about myself and grow. And, you know, I've been sort of circling this recovery bandwagon for like 4 years. I got sober from drugs and alcohol 4 years ago, but there's a lot of other things like love, sex, pornography, food, like all these other things that I sort of indulged in once I got sober from drugs and alcohol and sort of just turned to something else. And only recently have I gotten a sponsor in those programs and like really started to look at those addictions and really tackle those, which I think for me are a lot deeper embedded and a lot harder to tackle. And even just the other week, you know, I had a disclosure session with my partner where I was just completely honest about this thing for the first time. And it was like, I was scared shitless. I think it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do because it was so counterintuitive to my programming my whole life. The most vulnerable and the hardest thing and like the craziest thing that I've ever done. But since it, I've really felt incredible and I've started to feel some of what you were just explaining. And it's just weird to, you know, be kind of like working on it, I guess.
Well, I really admire you for this. I admire your partner. I want you to realize that all of those addictions were created out of self-soothing. They were all your best attempt to try and meet those really hurt feelings inside. When you tell your partner the absolute truth, when you get a sponsor, when you're physically active, when you eat the right food, there's another spiritual level, which is so much sweeter and better than those self-soothings, that it's like the highest sign of Scorpio is the eagle. It starts off as the reptile snake, and when it evolves, it's the eagle, because the eagle can see the whole picture and just fly. That's where you're heading.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. I guess I'm thinking about other men and people who have a harder time sort of being able to have a conversation like this. And I'm curious, in your work or just general studies, you know, what is it about the human brain or the way that we're conditioned to sort of be resistant to ideas like this? Or like what's really blocking people from being able to get on board with things like this, do you think?
Well, thousands of years of really dysfunctional training about what it means to be human and male or female or other. I've certainly had to unpack a million narratives that were just lies. You know, it's like the unconsciousness is what's really poisoned or corrupted our sense of what's possible. And once you get conscious that you can be everything, you can feel everything, you can connect to people and be authentic, you can undo shame. I haven't met a person that wouldn't prefer that. I haven't met a person, but initially, everybody is drinking the same poison water. Like, you've got to be tough, you've got to be stoic. It's, you know, the Judeo-Christian crap that's just been in our midst. And, you know, once you really resist and rebel against those narratives, you start to realize actually the juice, the sweet spot, is being real, being authentic, feeling, connecting, all levels, having sex, not just the genitals. You know, there's so many things we've bought that are just lies. The conditioning.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I grew up Jewish. I went to like a Jewish day school from basically K through 12. And I think for most of my, I'd say my generation, at least the small bubble that I was raised in, religion and spirituality were kind of always joined at the hip. And I feel like that led a lot of my peers and people I know who might be more you know, logic based or rational thinkers in that way to veer away from spirituality and sort of have a hard time with it because it was so closely intertwined with religion. And I think, you know, I meet a lot of people in 12 step who like, you know, it's hard to get over the whole God thing and things like that. And I think really unlocking for me a distinction between the two and like being able to feel very spiritual without any religion. And, you know, for me, what I connect to really is like nature as my higher power. But I think that's a huge distinction that's like so important for people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the reason millions of people have turned to astrology and dropped religion is because religion has failed us in so many ways. There's perverts, there's sexism, there's racism, there's homophobia. There's like profound problems with religious dogma. And what you're saying, which is where I'm at too, is I don't have any some fancy like God that I pray to or anything. I just know that there's an energy that is bigger than my ego. And when I touch into that energy that's about service and compassion and kindness, I feel much better. When I think about me, Jennifer, me, I'm always unhappy. So I've just learned, like, connect to something bigger. Every morning I do so many rituals to just get myself in the frame of mind of how may I serve? How may I be contributing? How may I actually use my gifts? What a better way to start the day instead of like, what do you think of me? You know?
Totally. I guess on that note, what are some of those rituals that you do, or like, what does your mental health care really look like now?
It's extreme. Like, here's one thing I want to say to you because you're younger. Every year I have to add another thing, but here's really? What it is. In the morning, I lay in bed and I do a meditation and I do kind of a review of how I want to occur and intend my day to be. Then I get up and I do Qigong. I have a male Qigong teacher named Paul Frazier, and he taught me the set of exercises. I do the Qigong. Then I come and I write an intentional letter of gratitude and also a request for the divine possibilities to show up in my life. Then I have to eat a certain way because I'm gluten intolerant. I mean, it gets very, you know, as they say in the 12 step, the road gets thinner or narrower.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I always have to exercise every day or I'm a mental wreck. So I do something. And then at night, every night, I meditate for some amount of time before I go to sleep. And that's, and also at night now I have to do stretches because I have to like make my body more flexible. So it's stretches, it's meditation. Bottom line is this, I don't miss a day. And why? It's kind of like not drinking. That's not my issue, but I don't miss a day because I'm a healer and I work with people. And if I miss a day of that, I'm not good for them, let alone myself.
Yeah, I always love asking everyone who comes on the show because I just think it's cool to hear, you know, 100 people have 100 different answers, but it's really all making them all feel the same way. And I think that's such a beautiful part about sort of humans and our mental health and just how everyone is so different, but we're all so the same. And like, there's so many ways for us to get to the same place, you know? So I think for a lot of people, they feel like, I can't afford a gym membership, so I can't exercise, like she said, or all these sort of barriers that we'll tell ourselves.
Just so you know, there's not one thing I pay for.
Yeah,
not
right.
One so thing like, I just told you, first of all, no offense to anybody else, but I've tried gyms and kickboxing. And I can't stand to be in locked in places. So none of my exercise is in a room unless I'm wildly dancing in my own living room. But I don't think it's a good idea to set it up to pay for your mental health, except for therapy, et cetera, because it's a lifelong process. I can never stop this. It's not going to be like, oh, and then next week I'm good. This is my way that I can function and be basically a pretty joyful person. And that doesn't mean I don't feel pain and suffering and horrible feelings, but I have a pretty good mindset. But that's years of doing this, years.
Yeah, I think it just, you know, the hardest part for me was at least just starting. And I think we're already all doing so many things every day that make us feel good and others that don't make us feel as good. And even just like stopping and taking inventory of those and then realizing what those are. No, maybe I'll try and do a few more of these or make sure I just do this one every day and maybe try and reduce those and really just build our worlds in a way that just makes us, you know, feel more comfortable and stuff like that. But I wrote down earlier when you were talking, I just typed cosmic DNA question mark. What is that? And what does that mean?
Well, when I look at your chart, and we only spoke of a few things, there's many, many, many things in your chart.
Yeah.
It's basically a map to your soul, which is the name of my new book. The chart is a map to your soul, and it shows you very clearly what complexes you were born with and what strengths you were born with and what your earth curriculum is really going to be, like where you need to assert yourself and excel and where you need to be humble and get help and stuff like that. So the cosmic DNA, if you will, is like your unique thumbprint of your soul. And when you look at the chart, you can see that and talk to a person about that. And one thing when I work with people is I always say, which is so important, you're the expert on you. I'm just facilitating a conversation based on what I'm seeing. Don't ever give your power away that somebody knows better than you who you
right.
are.
Right.
That's super important because a lot of people are peddling, hey, I'm going to tell you who you are. And then you're reliant and dependent on me because I'm the guru. And like, I don't believe in that. I believe in something called spiritual agency, which is part of my new book. And that spiritual agency is, it's totally within our power to keep raising our consciousness and our vibration. And it takes a lot of effort and a ton of support. Nobody I've ever met does it on their own. Ever, not once, not one man, not one woman, not one anybody.
Yeah, I always say that the best advice I could ever give is just asking for help and how important that is. When I was in treatment on like the last day of family weekend, we did this exercise where everyone is blindfolded and we all get led into a room and the room just has a series of ropes like all across it and you can't see, and you're just asked to sort of like work your way down the ropes and kind of feel and grab another rope and to get out of the room. And you know, the trick is that there's no way out of the room. And the only way out of the room is they say, you know, you can raise your hand and ask a question if you want. And only once you raise your hand and say, I need help, or can you help me? That's when they say, you know, you found the room. And yeah, that was just really, really powerful. And like seeing a lot of people go through that and, you know, how hard it is for some people to just ask that question for all the reasons that you just said. And it was just a really beautiful exercise that I got to partake in with my parents that I always come back to and think of when talking about asking for help.
Yeah, I love that story because it's embodied. It's not a concept. You really felt it. You really felt, wow, I'm in here trying to get out. And if I don't ask for help, I'll be here forever. And I think that's how mental health is, honestly.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm glad that you brought up the book. I wanted to touch on that a little bit too. I know this is what your like 11th or 12th book that you've written.
Yeah, but it's the second big bestseller. It's now a bestseller. My book 2 years ago, Use Your Planets Wisely, is also a bestseller. These are my only two astrology books, psychology and astrology.
Yeah.
And this particular book, I was basically asked by Gwyneth Paltrow and her team and Random House to write a book that would be super accessible to anyone. You don't have to like astrology. If you like astrology, it will have really basic and interesting things to learn. But the book is about living a fully expressed life and delivering your gifts. And it goes through 12 different areas of life. And in each area, there's inventories to start realizing how much more of you can bring to the table.
Mm. And are the different areas like work, family, friends, etc.?
The first is how you show up in the room, persona. Second is values. Third is communication. Fourth is home and feelings. Fifth is love and creativity. Sixth is health habits. Seven is partnerships. Eight is sex. Nine is travel and belief systems. 10 is career and legacy. 11 is what I call the sacred crew, your kinship group. And 12 is spirituality and psychic abilities.
Wow, I got to read this book.
You're going to read it. You're going to love it.
I've
had a lot of good feedback. I mean, people really say over and over again, wow, you've really made this so easy to understand and play with, which was my intention.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations on multiple bestsellers. That's incredible as it is. Did you always want to be an author? Or like, how did you think about writing your first book or any of that?
You know, I always, in my dark mental health times, always wrote poetry, like always.
Yeah.
And journals. And it really didn't come to me to be a writer till later in life. So here's the truth. I didn't really publish my first book till I think I was 38. And once I had that experience of communicating through a book, it was so exciting that I just kept going. You know, it's a thrill to produce something like you're doing this show and have people really like it and it means something. So I found it at later in my life. So now I just always write. I love writing. I don't think I'm the best writer, so I want to give a lot of people encouragement. I am actually not the best writer, but I get help with editing and I'm a great communicator. So when I had to do the voiceover for this book, they asked me and paid me to do it. And so I had to listen to every word and I went, it's not such great writing. However, it's clear. And then I thought, God, one day I hope I could write a beautiful book because I read a lot and some people write so beautifully. That is not true for me in this book or any book. It's just very much about delivering the information.
Yeah. What was your thought process, I guess, with this book? I know you said that Gwyneth had asked you to pen something that was a bit more like accessible and that anyone could sort of pick up and get into. How did you think about, you know, making a topic that might be more difficult for some, as we've established, just feel so accessible and so inclusive?
That's a great question. I think, like, you know, you're really deep into your spiritual nature and understanding yourself as part of nature. This book is based on the four elements: fire, dynamic, passionate, engaged energy; earth, grounded, stable, resilient energy; air, inspiring, breathtaking, visionary energy; and water, the feeling, compassion, mercy, forgiveness energy. And I realized in my own life that everything comes down to these four elements. And that was very inspiring to me to communicate to people. We live out of balance generally and mostly. And if I can, through this book, help people get really simple in touch with living in balance and delivering their gifts, that's why I took this path.
No, that's amazing. I think that that's such a great way to think about it in terms of just accessibility, like I was saying, of just really breaking it down. You know, the simple, the better, the less sort of woo-woo, all these sorts of things that you have to buy into. But I think just that baseline understanding of us being on this earth and feeling these things and living these lives. And, you know, we can all relate to every single one of those 12 sections that you listed, whether we believe in this or that or whatever. So I'm sure that there's a piece of knowledge in there for everyone, and definitely encourage everyone to check it out.
Let me ask you this question. So what is your partner's birthday?
Her birthday is February 12th, 1996. She's an Aquarius.
Me too. Here's what I want to tell you. I'm looking at your chart again, and you have way heavy into the water as your big element, the feeling, the compassion, the mercy, the forgiveness.
I'm deep. I'm in the deep ocean.
You're very low on air. So you picked an air sign, and this is what always happens. We pick the other, no matter what our sexual orientation is. We pick a person that's deep into another element, and we're very attracted to that otherness. Mm-hmm. Then we get really annoyed by that otherness because it's like they're not doing it like we think. And that's the workout. It's a trip to really understand, wow, you're so high on water and you're pretty low on objectivity and logic. Okay. So you're going to pick a woman who is an Aquarius, who's an air sign, who's, you know, her strength is going to be a little bit more impersonal. She's going to be able to step back. Like, she could hear your confession and go, okay, we can deal with that. Whereas if you were with somebody with as much water as you, and I'm going to promise you this, they would have gotten totally unglued, had a big hissy fit, lots of emotional drama. And you'd be sitting there drowning in your shame.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. My girlfriend and my mom's birthday are also 3 days apart, but maybe we could save that for our private session.
Well, I, you know, if you pick the good qualities of your Aquarius mother and your girlfriend, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I guess one other thing I was wondering is, what do you feel like are just some of the biggest misconceptions about astrology, or how do people get it wrong, or things like that?
Thank you for asking, because in so many ways. Okay, so one, that you could decide based on somebody's sun sign, like Cancer, Pisces, Scorpio, who you should be with. Complete crap. It has no bearing on who you should be with. That's one misconception. Two, that somebody, has a worse sign than the other. No. Three, that it's just pop astrology. Like all this talk about, oh, you're Cancer or you're this, as if that talks about real astrology. It doesn't. A real astrology reading is so complex. It's so specific. And it takes a lot more in-depth observation, revelation than what you see in most pop astrology. So there's a lot of misconceptions.
Yeah, I'm sure that list can go on and on,
on and on.
Let's say someone is just sort of curious after hearing this conversation, or has been interested about astrology but has never really done anything more. After they read A Map to Your Soul, of course, what else are a couple of the other sort of good beginner steps, or things to Google, or books to check out, or places to set people on the right path?
Definitely get my two books, Use Your Planets Wisely and A Map to Your Soul, because they're both really good for the person entering. There's a brilliant genius book for people that are really philosophical and mental and scholarly. Well, my friend wrote it, called Cosmos and Psyche, Richard Charnas. It's a genius book on astrology. I think Chani Nicholas, You Were Born for This, great book on astrology. Her app, Chani Nicholas, phenomenal. Pattern, phenomenal. The way I learned it is, one, I had a mentor or a couple of mentors, but two, I got 20 books, put them all around the house in my room, and I just voraciously read something every day. It's a foreign language, so you cannot learn it by popping in and out. You've got to like steep yourself in it, like a musician with learning it. And then, you really, really will hit a turning point where it's like, oh, I'm in. I get this whole thing. It takes a long time, but it's super fun, especially because a lot of it's learning about yourself first and foremost.
Totally. Without, getting into too many specifics, I guess, just as sort of general mental health struggles or themes that you're seeing with a lot of people that you work with right now, like what are some bigger issues that you feel like people are facing, or common struggles that you are dealing with some of your clients? Anything there?
Well, for sure, the biggest ones are people feel fragmented, chaotic, and anxious, and also very lonely. These are the biggest issues, and certainly addiction of porn, of alcohol, of marijuana. Don't tell me you can't be addicted to marijuana, because boy, do I see people that are struggling with that. Also, now there's a whole lot of people who are into psychedelics and they're using them addictively. It's like, I had a friend that got addicted to ketamine. Another friend got addicted to ayahuasca. And see, people say, oh, no, you can't be addicted to these things. But anything we're using to get away from ourselves on a regular basis is an addiction. So anyway, I see all these issues, but I think the prevalent one is most everyone I know is on some medication for anxiety or depression. Or ADHD.
Yeah. Guilty for all three.
Yeah, but I understand it. I mean, we're living in one of the most difficult emotional climates that I've ever seen. And I'm, older. This is tough.
Yeah. What sort of advice would you give, or really after hearing that, what are some ways that people could help themselves?
Well, I think the most important is, don't consume so much fear-based stuff on any digital platform. No fear. It's not helpful. Secondly, I have become a national consultant in trauma EMDR. I think it's the best modality and it doesn't last forever. You don't have to stay in talk therapy forever. So if you're dealing with trauma, which most of us are, get yourself some EMDR care. And then I think it's so important. My most passionate issue right now is get yourself a sacred crew. You already have it with 12 steps. You need to have 8 to 12 people in your life that have your back and will call you on your shit and love you like crazy when you're happy, mad happy. We all need these people, like really need them.
That was number 11, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But we really need them. Now more than ever, if you don't have 8 to 12 people in your life that you can call, one of them at least, at any point and say, help, or say, I just killed this interview and love me for it. You know, we need both. Mm-hmm. And we need people that aren't fixing us, that go, hey, you're struggling with porn? Okay, I got you. I got you.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And as I've gotten older, I've realized the importance of that sacred crew. And I've been so much more intentional with who that is. And for me, I've found that it's a lot of people that were around in my early childhood days, you know, camp friends, friends back in Michigan, like all of those sorts of things. I really find myself gravitating a lot towards those people who I kind of bonded with when life was a lot simpler and went through a lot of these formative childhood experiences with. And I find that those people for me are the ones who I can really be my true self around, who don't judge me, who there's no ulterior motives, who I just never have to think twice about the person that I want to be. I can just show up with full integrity and just wear one mask the whole time and just really make me feel good in that way. And I definitely encourage and challenge everyone to really think about who those types of people are for you. And like you said, really build your sacred crew around them.
Yeah, I can say just an astrological forecast. 2023, we have a huge cosmic shift moving from Pluto in Capricorn after 16 years to Pluto in Aquarius. It's going to be essential you know who's in your lifeboat. And then your lifeboat connects with another lifeboat. We've got major things to shift in this planet. We can't do it at all by staying in our rooms and looking at a screen.
For sure. What does that exactly mean when you talk about a shift in that way? Is it every 16 years, like you said, or is it always different?
Well, this particular shift happens once every 240 years.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very, very big moment astrologically when we shift. And Aquarius, your girlfriend and mother and me, is all about friends, kinship, community, building the community. And so when Pluto hits into Aquarius, it's the intensification of all those issues and where you are in those issues. So people that haven't made their sacred crew may feel more mentally ill than ever. You know, we need each other and you're already so set. I'm so proud of you, if I can say that. But like you figured out that, yeah, you're still going to have issues. I still go to therapy. But you got these people that are like, I got you, man. I love you. You're good. And you don't feel like you have to pose or posture. There's so much phoniness in this world. You don't have to make a fake Instagram, you know, like you're good.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I guess for maybe people who have most of their sacred crew through digital relationships or people that they game with or, you know, someone that they met on Reddit on the other side of the world. How do you think about those things? Because I know obviously there's so many perils of our screens and negative aspects of social media, but do you find that it's possible to really create a sacred crew in those ways?
Totally. You can build the virtual crew. I think, look, I'm a Taurus moon. You have Mars in Taurus. I actually can only feel totally safe in person with people because I can feel them, smell them, touch them, taste them. That's for me, my love language. But some people really do better with some distance. So the virtual is okay. Just get very clear. What are the expectations and the commitments? Because the one thing about the remote is that people can just ghost and blow off and be really remote. So if you're going to build your sacred crew digitally, make sure you're all very clear what you're signing up for and what's the must-haves and the must-not-haves.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to be, you know, extra explicit and clear with expectations and, yeah, and boundaries and whatnot. I have two more questions for you before we wrap up that we ask every guest on the show. The first is, if you could nominate anyone to come on the show who's been very inspirational for you or in your career, or who has a very powerful mental health journey that you look up to, whether you know them or not, who would it be?
Michelle Obama.
Amazing answer. Why Michelle?
Well, I've never known anyone to be put under more threat, scrutiny, horror, being a powerful, muscular Black woman married to the president. And I know now, because I've read her biography, how much she had to like keep it together, because she's mm-hmm. a passionate person. And she has such integrity. And it's an extreme effort to keep your mental health when you have people wanting to kill you every day. Like, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, that's hard to even fathom. Truly.
And to serve the country. She didn't want to be the first lady at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Serve the country and to do her mental health work instead of, she never, ever took it out on anybody publicly. I would have a million times. You know, I'm very fiery, so forget it. I would have gone ballistic. Like, I would have gone, what the fuck are you saying about my husband, you know? She kept it together. The dignity is unbelievable. So I'd want to learn from her day in, day out on your show. How the hell did you do this? How did you do it?
No, that's such a great answer. And lastly, what makes you mad happy?
Well, many, many things at this point in my life. But the first thing is, my partner and I are very lucky that we live a mile from a beach, and we have often swam with dozens of wild dolphins. Mad happiness.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Love the work that you do, and I'm definitely going to look into my own astrology a bit more. And congratulations on the new book. We'll be sure to link it in the show notes and everything. And thank you so much for the time and the conversation.
Okay, but I just want to say, if this doesn't sound too weird to you, you are just the most beautiful soul. Like, when I looked at your chart and talking to you, I want you to really take in that you are made exactly right to lead this part of the evolution of masculine identity. You're just like the right guy at the right moment. I really mean that.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for listening and for sticking with us through another year of the Mad Happy Podcast. We got big, big things coming this year on the show with some of our biggest guests of all time, more video content. We're going to be on YouTube soon, a bunch of fun stuff that we really can't wait to bring you all. So thanks again, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.